Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechus Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Ches. The third parak, Rehu Basin. Masechus Rosh Hashanah has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chaya Bas Esther. So the three Dafs are going to focus on number one. Rav Yudah said, "B'shofar sho'ol u'yiska v'im taka yatzet." One should not blow with the shofar of an ola, but if he did blow with it, he has fulfilled his chiyuv. "B'shofar sho'shlamim u'yiska v'im taka lo yatzet." One should not blow with the shofar of a shlamim, and if he did, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. What's the difference between them? Ola is bas me'ilahi. An ola is subject to me'ilah. Therefore, once he blew its horn and thereby committed me'ilah with it, the horn goes out to the unconsecrated state. But shlamim are not subject to the laws of me'ilah. And therefore, even when their horns are blown, isuruhu derachi bahu, v'nafagulchuan, the prohibition rests upon them, and they do not go out to an unconsecrated state. Rabbah challenged this interpretation, saying that the blower of the ola's horn only commits me'ilah after he blew the horn. But while he's blowing it, be'isuratake, he blew while the horn was still in a prohibited state. Rava initially said that one does not fulfill his chiyuv with the ola and shlamim horns, but then subsequently stated that one does fulfill his chiyuv with both of them, because mitzvahs lav lahanas nitnu. Mitzvahs were not given to Yisrael for the purpose of deriving benefit from their fulfillment. Rashi explains that they were given as a yoke upon one's neck. Point number two, they sent to Shmuel's father the following statement, Kafa'ova achol matzah yotzev. One compelled another to eat matzah on Pesach. The latter has fulfilled his chiyuv. After clarifying that the case was where Persians compelled the person to eat the matzah, Rava said, Zosamerasa toke l'shir at yotzah. This ruling indicates that one who blows a shofar on Rosh Hashanah for the purpose of playing a song has nonetheless fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara said this is obvious, given that both cases are where the person had no intent to fulfill the mitzvah. The Gemara answers that without Rava's inference, one might have thought that in the case of matzah, echol matzah amarachmana v'ha'achol. The Torah said, eat matzah, and this co-heir's person, in fact, ate matzah and fulfilled the mitzvah. Whereas in the second case, Zichron Truaksiv, it's written that on Rosh Hashanah there shall be a remembrance of shofar blast. Bahimus Asik Ba'amahu, and this one is merely a preoccupied individual and therefore does not fulfill the mitzvah. Kamash Melon, that Rav is coming to inform us that they are indeed analogous and that the shofar blower also fulfills its chiyuv. From here we see that Rav holds mitzvahs ain't zrichas kavana. Mitzvahs do not require kavana. And point number three, the Gemara brings a number of challenges to Rav's opinion that mitzvahs ain't zrichas kavana. Abai said to Rabbah, but now, according to your opinion, Hayashim Bishmini Besukkah Yilke, one who sleeps in a sukkah on the eighth day of sukkah should receive malchus for performing the mitzvah of an additional day. Rabbah responded, that is not so. Shani Omer mitzvahs Eina Oberlen El Bezmanan. For I say with regard to mitzvahs that one transgresses for adding onto them only during their designated time of performance. Rashi brings the examples of one adding a fifth compartment to his het tefillin or taking five species during the 7 days of sukkahs. Simply repeating a mitzvah after the time of its performance has passed is not a violation. After numerous challenges, Rava modifies the statement that the rule with respect to violating Baal Tosif is that during the mitzvah's designated time, kavana is not required, shelo bezmano, boy kavana, but not during its designated time, it does require kavana. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rav Yehuda said, b'shofar sho'ola lo yiska v'im taka yatzav, one should not blow with the shofar of an ola, but if he did blow with it, he has fulfilled his chiyuv. B'shofar sho'shlamim lo yiska v'im taka lo yatzav. One should not blow with the shofar of a shlamim, and if he did, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. What's the difference between them? Ola bas me'ilah, he, and ola is subject to me'ilah. Therefore, once he blew its horn and thereby committed me'ilah with it, the horn goes out to the unconsecrated state. But shlamim are not subject to the laws of me'ilah. And therefore, even when their horns are blown, isiruhu derachibuhu, v'lanafkeluchuan, the prohibition rests upon them and they do not go out to an unconsecrated state. Rava challenges this interpretation, saying that the blower of the ola's horn only commits me'ilah after he blew the horn. But while he's blowing it, be'isurataka, he blew it while the horn was still in a prohibited state. Rava initially said that one does not fulfill his chiyuv with the ola and shlamim horns, but then subsequently stated that one does fulfill his chiyuv with both of them, because mitzvahs lav lahanos nitnu. Mitzvahs were not given to Yisrael for the purpose of deriving benefit from their fulfillment. Rashi explains they were given as a yoke upon one's neck. Point number two, they sent to Shmuel's father the following statement, Kafa'ova achol matzah yotzev. One compelled another to eat matzah on Pesach. The latter has fulfilled his chiyuv. After clarifying that the case was where Persians compelled the person to eat the matzah, Rava said, Zosomeres ha'tokei l'shir yotzah. This ruling indicates that one who blows a shofar on Rosh Hashanah for the purpose of playing a song has nonetheless fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara said this is obvious, given that both cases are where the person had no intent to fulfill the mitzvah. The Gemara answers that without Rava's inference, one might have thought that in the case of matzah, echol matzah amarachmana v'ha'achol, the Torah said, eat matzah, and this coerced person, in fact, ate matzah and fulfilled the mitzvah. Whereas in the second case, zikron truaksiv, it's written that on Rosh Hashanah there shall be a remembrance of shofar blast. V'ha'im esasik ba'amahu, and this one is merely a preoccupied individual, and therefore does not fulfill the mitzvah. Kamash Malan, that Rava is coming to inform us that they are indeed analogous and that the shofar bor also fulfills its chiyuv. From here we see that Rava holds mitzvahs ein tzrichus kavana. Mitzvahs do not require kavana. And point number three, the Gemara brings a number of challenges to Rava's opinion that mitzvahs ein tzrichus kavana. Abai said to Rava, but now, according to your opinion, Hayashim Mishmini Mesukkah Yilka, one who sleeps in a sukkah on the eighth day of sukkahs, should receive malchus for performing the mitzvah for an additional day. Rava responded, that is not so. Shani Omer mitzvahs eino overlen el bezmanan. For I say with regard to mitzvahs that one transgresses for adding on to them only during their designated time of performance. Rashi brings the examples of one adding a fifth compartment to his head tefillin, or taking five species during the 7 days of sukkahs. Simply repeating a mitzvah after the time of its performance has passed is not a violation. After numerous challenges, Rava modifies his statement that the rule with respect to violating Baal Tosif is that during the mitzvah's designated time, kavana is not required. Shalobas mano boy kavana, but not during its designated time, it does require kavana. Alright, so now we go to our simmer dav chav ches, and our standard simmer is a strong man koach. So here goes. The strong man who blew with all his might into a shofar that was taken from an ola to play his favorite song couldn't wake up his friend who went to sleep in a sukkah on the eighth day of sukkahs with kavana. Once again in slow motion. The strong man, that must mean we're on dav chav ches. The strong man who blew with all of his might into a shofar that was taken from an ola, which reminds us, Rebuta holds one should not blow the shofar of an ola, but if he did, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, whereas one should not blow the shofar of a shalmi. If he did, he hasn't fulfilled his chiyuv. What's the difference between them? Ola is bas me'ila here, and ola is subject to me'ila. Therefore, once he blew its horn and thereby committed me'ila with it, the horn goes out to the unconsecrated state. Rava state that one does fulfill his chiyuv with both of them, because mitzvahs level hanisni. The mitzvahs were not given to Yisrael for the purpose of driving benefit from the fulfillment. Rashi explains that they were given as a yoke upon one's neck. So the strong man who blew with all of his might into a shofar that was taken from an ola to play his favorite song, which reminds us, Rava said that a ruling that one who is forced to eat matzah is yotzi's chiyuv indicates that one who blows a shofar in Rosh Hashanah for the purpose of playing a song has also fulfilled his chiyuv. Rava is coming to teach that one might have thought in the case of matzah, echo matzah amar rachmanu bo ha'acho. The Torah said, eat matzah, and this coerced person, in fact, ate matzah and fulfilled the mitzvah. Whereas in the second case, zikron truoksiv, it's written that on Rosh Hashanah there shall be a remembrance of shofar blast, v'hai masasik ba'almahu, and this one is merely a preoccupied individual, and therefore does not fulfill the mitzvah. Kamash mo'an, the Rava is coming to inform us that they are indeed analogous, and the shofar blower also fulfills his chiyuv. So from here we see the Rava holds, mitzvahs ein tzrichos kavana. Mitzvahs do not require kavana. So the strong man who blew with all of his might into a shofar that was taken from an ola to play his favorite song couldn't wake up his friend who went to sleep in a sukkah on the eighth day of sukkahs with kavana. Which reminds us that Rebbe rules regarding a case where one sleeps in a sukkah on the eighth day, that with respect to violating Baal Tosif, the rule is that during the mitzvah's designated time, kavana is not required. Shalobas mano boy kavana, but not during its designated time, it does require kavana. So once again, the strong man who blew with all of his might into a shofar that was taken from an ola to play his favorite song couldn't wake up his friend who went to sleep in a sukkah on the eighth day of sukkahs with kavana. All right, now it's time for a four blah back chazor. Dav chav dalad. So the simmer dav chav dalad is a pitcher, a kud, a pitcher. So here goes. The witness who was peering at the new moon through a glass pitcher, that must be more dav chav dalad, kud. The witness who was peering at the new moon through a glass pitcher, which reminds us that if they didn't say we saw the moon reflected in the water or reflected through a lantern, or we saw it through the clouds, they cannot testify about it. And similarly, if they say we saw half of it reflected in the water or half of it in the clouds or half of it through a lantern, they may not testify about it. The Gemara clarifies that these latter statements are coming to teach they may not testify even if they saw the other half in the sky. So the witnesses who were peering at the new moon through a glass pitcher got a shock when it shattered from the shouts of Makudash, Makudash, which reminds us the Gemara brings the source of the Rosh Beis Din to say Makudash and for the nation to respond Makudash, Makudash. So the witness who was peering at the new moon through a glass pitcher got a shock when it shattered from the shouts of Makudash, Makudash that were said after the witnesses pointed to the correct position of the moon on the Rosh Beis Din's astronomy tablet, which reminds us that three reasons are given as to how Rambam Gamliel was permitted to have various moon shapes on a tablet to help the witnesses to clarify what they saw, despite the pasuk that says, Lo sasuniti, you shall not make with me, which is interpreted to mean, Lo sasun kedmu shamashai, you shall not make images of my servants who serve me on high. The first answer is that since Rambam Gamliel was a Nazi, many people were frequently in attendance, therefore there was no suspicion they were being worshipped, or the prakim hava, they were made of sections, or lislamet asa, Rambam Gamliel made the images for the purpose of study. Daf Chafhei, so the simmer Daf Chafhei is a silver wedding anniversary. So here goes. The husband who planned a spectacular silver anniversary party. Silver anniversary party? That must be more on Daf Chav Hei. The husband who planned a spectacular silver anniversary party, perfectly timed for Rosh Chodesh, down to the exact Chalakim, which reminds us Rami Gamliel had a tradition from the house of his father's father that the new moon is never less than 29 and a half days, 2/3 of an hour, and 73 Chalakim from the previous one. So the husband planned a spectacular silver anniversary party, perfectly timed for Rosh Chodesh, down to the exact Chalakim, was devastated when Beis invalidated the wrong date, which reminds us Rabbi Kiva comforted Rabbi Yeshua, whom Rabbi Gamliel forced to come to Beis carrying his staff and money on the day that Rabbi Yeshua held was Yom Kippur, by reminding what Rabbi Yeshua himself had taught. With regard to the designation of the Yom Tovim, the word Osam is repeated 3 times and spelled defectively without the Vav, and is therefore expounded as if it were vowelized Atem, you. This teaches us, Atem afil shogegim, Atem afil mizidim, Atem afil mutim. The festivals you declare are valid even if you choose the wrong date in error, even if you choose the wrong date deliberately, meaning they declared Rosh Chodesh on the wrong date for some compelling reason that entitles them to do so, and even if you were misled. So the husband who planned a spectacular silver anniversary party, perfectly timed for Rosh Chodesh, down to the exact Chalakim, was devastated when Beis invalidated the wrong date before 2 judges who saw the new moon had a chance to testify. Which reminds us, if Basin alone saw the new moon, 2 of the judges should stand and testify before the others, even though Ein Shmia Domu Ariya, Rabbi Zera explains this case was when they saw the new moon at night, when Basin cannot be Makadosh, the moon. Chavav, so the Simur Dav Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The soldier who mistakenly wore a cow horn on his helmet for the coup, that must be wearing Dav Chavav. The soldier mistakenly wore a cow horn on his helmet for the coup, unlike the others who wore chauffeurs of other animals, which reminds us that the Chachamim hold that all types of horns are kosher to be used as chauffeurs except for cow horns because they're called Karen's horns and not chauffeurs. Rav Yossi holds all horns are called Karen's as well, and he brings a pasuk to expand that a cow horn is also referred to as a chauffeur. So the soldier mistakenly wore a cow horn on his helmet for the coup, unlike the others who were chauffeurs of other animals, was forced to remove the gold stitching from his white garments, which reminds us 2 additional reasons are given why the Chachamim do not permit cow horns as chauffeurs. Ula said it's based on the principle of Ein Kategor Nasi Senegor. Just as the Kohen Gadol does not wear gold when he goes into Kodesh Kodashim in Yom Kippur, because it recalls the sin of the Egel Zahav, using a cow horn as a shofar also recalls the sin of the Egel Zahav. Abai says the reason is because the pasuk calls for a single shofar. Not like a cow's horn, since it's composed of individual shells, it appears like 2 or 3 shofars. So the soldier mistakenly wore a cow horn on his helmet for the coup, unlike the others who were shofars of other animals, was forced to remove the gold stitching from his white garments and bend down in submission on Rosh Hashanah and blow a bent shofar. Which reminds us, Rebbe Yehuda holds that one should use a bent shofar on Rosh Hashanah to reflect a sense of submission and a straight one on the Yom Kippur of Yovel to reflect freedom. The Tanakhama holds a straight one should be used on Rosh Hashanah and a bent one should be used on fast days. Dav Chav Zayin, so the Simur Dav Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The 2 kids who proudly blew their silver kazoos, that must be more on Dav Chav Zayin. The 2 kids who proudly blew their silver kazoos, which reminds us, the Mishnah Dav Chavav and Beis stated regarding blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah in the base of Migdash, the 2 trumpets are blown at the sides. The shofar marich, v'chatzros is mekatzros, shemitzos is yom b'shofar. The shofar blast is extended, the trumpets blow short, for the midst of the day is with the shofar. The Gemara clarifies that 2 sounds from 2 people are discernible in certain circumstances, such as in the case of Halil and Megill, where even 10 people can read them simultaneously, kevin dochaviv yahiv daite. Since each of these readings are dear to the listener, he puts his mind to discern every word. Here too, since the mitzvah of shofar is dear, he puts his mind to hear the sound of the shofar while the trumpets are blown. So the 2 kids who probably blew their silver kazoos, as the Baal Tekeah blew a shofar, whose mouth was plated in gold, which reminds us, the Mishnah says that the mouth of the shofar blown on Rosh Hashanah in the base of Migdash is plated with gold, whereas the mouths of shofars blown on fast days are plated with silver. 2 reasons are given for the difference. If you prefer, you can say every assembly is convened with silver instruments based on the pasuk, or you can say a Torah chasam mamon and Yisrael. The Torah was concerned for Yisrael's money and did not want to burn the communal treasury with the expense of plating with gold. The Gemara said if there's a monetary burden, then the shofar of Rosh Hashanah should also be plated with silver, and the answer is, Afil hachi kavad yantav adif. Nevertheless, contributing to the honor of Rosh Hashanah by plating the shofar with gold is a greater consideration. So the 2 kids who probably blew their silver kazoos, as the Baal Tekeah blew a shofar, whose mouth was plated in gold, were appalled when their friend blew into his kazoo from the wrong end. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa hafku v'takabo u'yata, if he reversed the shofar and blew into it, he's not fulfilled his chiv. The Torah says v'havarta, and shall cause a truah to pass. This teaches derech havarasu be'inan, that we require the shofar to be blown in a manner in which it is carried on the animal's head, meaning with the original narrow end still narrow and the original wide end still wide. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin, Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.